about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
What'd you take?
Weed.
Weed?
Yes.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving, inattentive, dull, constantly snacking, shows a lack of motivation.
What's the, how come?
What did you do?
You also, reportedly like your weed.
But, yeah, no, yes.
And now.
Yeah, I don't smoke the weed, but I still like to know where it's at.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, 4:20.
I don't think you're dull.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
I felt like that was descriptive of somebody. I just couldn't put my finger on who it was.
But not me.
No.
Right. I mean, you could rule me out.
Because you're not dull.
Right.
Right.
Everything else. Nailed it.
Constantly snacky, unmotivated. Hey, it was hot yesterday, you guys.
Were you directly in the sun for, say, an hour and a half?
I sure was, and boy, am I sunburnt.
Yeah, Kevin is shockingly less purple than I expected you to be.
Yeah.
Purple.
Well, you're one of my people.
Okay.
Albino.
Okay. A pale face.
Yeah.
We were at a thing yesterday that I don't think any of us knew was going to be outside in the sun, and it was shockingly uncomfortable. I did not like
it. When the invite said a luncheon by the pool, I thought, oh, it's one of those inside pool luncheons.
Yeah. See, I didn't see that, but I was just surprised. But I will tell you that many people contacted us on social media. I believe there was a real disturbance in the force with us wearing long pants. I don't think people were comfortable with that.
It's not cool.
That's not the Kevin and Bean that people want. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's weird.
A little too grown up.
Yep.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like the heat either. Man, it was hot. Did you guys notice?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's my point.
I know that was your point.
It's just hot.
Right.
Anyway, it is 4:20, the day that Adolf Hitler invented marijuana. And, you know, there are a lot of people at this point, I think many people know the story of 4:20. But there are some that don't, and there are some that are confused, and there are some who have heard multiple versions of the story. So I thought this might be an appropriate day to play this little history of why today is Pot Day.
If the all-seeing eye is the symbol of the Illuminati, then the number 420 is the not-so-secret universal code for marijuana, uniting stoners from sea to shining sea. But how did smokers overcome their hazy euphoria to collectively agree that 420 would be the number to represent their beloved wacky tobacco?
Now, Kevin, do you have a story of the many that have been offered that you believe how 420 became 420?
I don't know.
Allie McKay?
It has to do with THC. It's the component something.
Is it? Okay, let's find out.
Right. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably thought that 420 was police code for busting marijuana users.
Now, that is the thing I always heard coming up, is that that was what it was. It was a police code for pot, 420. Okay.
But that's just a myth. Kind of like the superstition that white lighters are bad luck. Or maybe you heard that those numbers came from multiplying 12 and 35, a reference to Bob Dylan's Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35, a song where Dylan declares everybody must get stoned.
I never heard
Who's
that one.
Doing math?
That's
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard,
stupid,
sir.
Stupid, sir.
Yeah, stoners are not famous for their math skills, right? So I had not even heard that one.
Or maybe you remembered that it was Hitler's birthday and you thought, damn, that's a dank way to celebrate Hitler's birthday. The truth, luckily, has nothing to do with Hitler.
All right, any thoughts, you guys?
I couldn't hate this guy more, first of all.
I know.
Any real guesses?
420.
420. No.
I will say he doesn't address your theory, Allie, but that's not it.
I don't have a guess.
I'm out.
Chip?
Nope.
Back in 1971, a group of ganja-loving teenagers in Marin County, California, met every day at 4:20 p.m. to get high and search for a rumored plot of marijuana plants nearby. This group was known as the Waldos, and through their friendship and dedication to excellent kush, they created a cultural phenomenon.
Why did they meet every day at 4:20, though? Like, how did that... That's the part I'm interested in finding out, if that's the origin of it. Why for... I mean, that's just... That's an odd time to say, hey, let's meet at. You know what I mean?
Right.
Does it... I mean, almost any time you meet with anybody for anything, isn't it at the top or the bottom of the hour? Do you ever say, I'll meet you at 48 past?
It's a good point. This is going to trouble me.
The Waldos began to use 420 as a code to describe their hijinks, and it eventually made its way to other popheads, most notably members of the Grateful Dead, who toured the world popularizing the number. Now the code is so popular that Colorado can't even have a mile marker 420 because it keeps getting stolen. They had to change it to mile marker 419.99. Guys, this is why we can't have nice things. The biggest impact of the Waldos is, of course, the unofficial holiday of April 20th. The St. Patrick's Day for the other green. And while some of us in states where marijuana is not yet legal will be celebrating quietly in our homes, other states with legalized cannabis will be hosting big events, such as dispensary tours, cooking classes, and of course a Snoop Dogg concert. So whether it's 4:20 p.m. or April 20th, just remember to enjoy your recreational activities responsibly. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go get blazed on this giant joint.
So there you go.
Ugh. I'm so cool. I'm going to get blazed on this giant joint. Dang.
I hate that guy.
Oh.
Where was he from? So many of those, Mashable, I think. Mashable. So many of those internet videos are recorded in that style. And I don't know why, because it is not pleasant to watch.
No, it's terrible. It's the opposite.
But that is information, though, that perhaps some of our listeners were not aware of. At least that's his theory.
But
and
why
I think that is the popular one.
But why did the Stoners pick 420 to meet?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
I really need to know that.
Why not 448?
Right? Right? Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we? We have a world premiere of some new music from a band called Garbage.
Yay!
Who will be joining us in studio. Ralph's scared of her. Actually
yeah.
scared of her, like
yeah.
you are of Conan.
I get it. I cannot judge Ralph for this.
Does not want to meet her because he's afraid he'd let her down, or he's just not important enough. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what's going on in his head. But.
He doesn't want to be a fly on the back of a gazelle, I believe is what he said yesterday.
You're right.
Tick,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Guys who take pictures of girls' butts that are unaware of it are cool, right?
Nope.
That's the conversation we'll have a little bit later.
So. I can't think of a problem with that.
Right. And Tim Simons will be here as well.
Jonah from Veep.
Jonah! Veep! Is back. We're very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
That's good. That one
worked.
Solo, however, by myself, nailing it. What's up, people? Okay. All right, great.
I don't know. What do you want? High five? You want a cookie? What is it?
I would like a cookie, actually.
I'll go get a cookie.
Okay. It's 5:53 in time for the showbiz. I didn't mean now, although I'll take one if you're going
to. I didn't know we had cookies, so it's good to know.
Good information to have.
I'm not sure.
Do you really want to get a cookie?
Yeah, he left.
Hey,
before I went out the door.
Yeah. His headphone cord was straight out the door. I was like, I'm not positive how far he's going to get.
Stuck looking for a cookie.
Let's take a look at all the showbiz news of the day, including new romance blossomed at Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival over the weekend. Scott Eastwood, who has recently been added to the cast of the Fast and Furious franchise. He'll be in the next one. And Nina Dobrev of Vampire Diaries. That's a good-looking couple right there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were canoodling at Coachella. So, Congratulations. Well, love doesn't always run true in show business circles. Iggy Azalea, for example, of course, engaged to Nick Young, despite his indiscretions. And she will pretty much talk to anyone who will listen to her about it. She was on the Ellen show. She did a radio interview a few weeks ago where she threatened to cut off his manhood should indiscretions like the previous ones ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's mad at us.
Who?
Sounded off on Twitter.
Kevin and
saying,
Bean?
No, just people in general.
Thank God.
Oh. Saying, we'd love to be given a little privacy on this matter. Like, well, then don't go to Ellen and talk about it on television and do radio interviews. Can't have it both ways. Oh, I can talk about it nonstop, but you can't. Stupid.
That's pretty sweet.
Looks like Tina Fey will indeed be bringing a Broadway musical version of Mean Girls to the stage. She was doing a panel on the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt show that she's got with Ellie Kemper. And Ellie's pregnant. I don't know if you knew that or not. So they are taking a break in production of that TV series to give her a time to be a healthy pregnant mom. And so it's given the opportunity to Tina to go forward and put together the show. So it looks like people are going to get that.
All right.
Which is nice.
That was a funny movie.
It was a very funny movie, and I think it would be a good Broadway show. And Kelly Ripa needs to find a new partner. Mike Strahan is leaving Live with Kelly and Michael for a sweet full-time gig on Good Morning America. Starting in September, he'll be over there on a good full-time basis.
Flavor Flav! Flavor Flav. Anyone?
It's a good choice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
To replace Michael Strahan?
Michael Strahan.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. He is going to be keeping working as a football analyst for Fox, and he's already appeared on Good Morning America twice a week over the past 2 years. So they're excited to have him. Apparently, Kelly Ripa was not involved in the process when this decision was made. So
Ooh.
She's a little bent out of shape, as you can imagine.
Michael Strahan's very good on TV.
I feel like Kelly was blindsided with the Regis news and now the Michael news. So I'm almost going to say maybe it's you.
Mm.
I don't know. It seems very odd that two people would be like, and I'm just going to leave the show.
And I'm going to go work someplace
and
else.
And you don't know your partner on the show.
Is it that strange, though, in television?
In a situation like that, especially within the same company? It's
Disney owns Live. Yeah, but I think if you know you're going to do that, yeah, I know they own Live and they also own GMA, and you're going to make that leap, I'm thinking you're trying to keep that as quiet as possible because you want to try to make that exit as quickly and as cleanly as possible. I'm sure there are a lot of people connected with Live that did not know what was happening because that's the way Strahan wanted it. He didn't want it to be a weird, strained situation around that set until he finally makes the leap.
Bet it's going to be your husband coming in.
Mark Consuelo?
Sí, es verdad.
Sí se puede.
¿Qué es esto?
Es muy guapo.
Guys, we're this close to Musica already.
Got nothing.
He's a good-looking fella. They'd be a good team. They're lovely and charming together.
Yeah, he fills in a lot, sure.
Yeah.
Or Michael Catherwood. Keep the same name. Boom. Catherwood is on that.
He tried that. He tried that already.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's when Michael Strahan was available. Now he's not. So I'm just saying, maybe.
But he tried that already.
And you said...
Did you watch?
I watched.
And that's who you're putting forward. All right, I'm good. I'm good with this.
Yes, I am.
That's fine. Flava Flav and Michael Catherwood. That's why Kevin doesn't run ABC anymore.
Those are my choices.
That's why he's been removed from the board of directors. Today's celebrity birthday is George Takei.
Oh, my.
He's 79 years old today. Jessica Lange is 67. Andy Serkis, very talented actor, 52 years old, as is Crispin Glover, who's crazy. Carmen Electra's 44. Killer Mike playing Coachella this weekend. Feeling the burn. He's 41 years old today. Joey Lawrence is 40. And Miranda Kerr is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So I guess my first question is, by means of setting this conversation up, is Conor McGregor everybody's favorite UFC fighter?
No.
No.
Really?
No. Far from it.
Who do you like better?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people hate him because of his, you know, brash, loud, obnoxious behavior. A lot of people hate him for that.
Wow. I never got that vibe at all.
Really?
What?
I didn't. What was your reaction when you saw his tweet yesterday that said, quote, I have decided to retire young. Thanks for the cheese. Catch yas later.
Somebody else got his phone and put that up.
You thought he was hacked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I left my phone around, Chip would have done that, and it would have been the right thing to do.
And I'd be like, you're retiring from the UFC?
Right, that's weird. I didn't even know you were in UFC 200.
Well, I didn't know thanks for the cheese was an expression. That was my first takeaway, which is, who says thanks for the cheese?
Thanks for the cheddar.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's money.
So meaning for the money.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Gotcha. So so Conor McGregor tweets this out of nowhere yesterday. And, of course, you know, people were anticipating that we were going to see him fight in a rematch with Nate Diaz on UFC 200. So it was a little unexpected, a little surprise when that came out. And then there was nothing. There was just silence for hours afterward, and nobody seemed to be available for comment. And then I guess about 5 hours after Conor tweeted that, his manager tweeted something like, well, it was fun while it lasted, seeming to continue to fuel the flames that this was going on. And I started thinking about, I mean, he's 27 years old.
Right.
And by some accounts, he made, besides the $1 million purse with all of the other endorsements and everything else that he had for the last, you know, couple of fights, he's made, you know, $10 million or something like that. And I thought, if you're 27 and you haven't been hit to the head to the point where you're going to hurt for the rest of your life and you've got $10 million, maybe that is a good time to walk away.
He's a fighter, though. Fighters
yeah.
fight.
But then the fight that happened in Dublin that he went to see, yeah. what was it, a week ago, and mm-hmm. the Portuguese fighter basically was beaten to death. He died in the fight. He didn't die on the mat, but he died in the hospital later. He witnessed that. So I was thinking, is that coming into play for him? I was going through kind of everything. Why would he say that? But now I think it's become
But hold clear. On, Allie, before you move on, I think that is an extremely reasonable response
Absolutely.
From somebody who's a fighter who's
Absolutely.
6 feet away from watching a guy get beat to death, especially on top of what I said, which is 27, healthy, and rich. Why do I need to put myself through that again?
I totally agree. But now I changed it.
But now it doesn't seem like that's what's going on
yeah.
at all. So now it seems like, thanks to the president of the UFC, Dana White, going on SportsCenter last night, now it seems like this is a conflict that probably will be worked out, would you say, about how much promotional activity Conor is expected to do for UFC 200?
I would guess so. I would guess this is just straight negotiation. Hey,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I'm bigger than the sport, mm-hmm. and Dana White's saying, no, you're not.
Yep.
That's what it sounds like.
But how can you be bigger than the sport? Because if you're not in the UFC, there's nowhere for you to go to work.
You're not bigger than the sport. He believes he is, and he thought he would push Dana and push his card as far as he could, and Dana's like, that's not happening, dude. Good try, though.
So Conor thought that he was going to bend and be able to get out of doing some of these things.
Like, yeah.
Like some athletes who, like Marshawn Lynch used to be with the Seattle Seahawks, who just decided he wasn't going to talk to the media, even though that was the NFL rules. Everybody had to talk to the media. He thought, I'm not doing it.
Well, I think it's the same thing. I think it's the press conference that he would not go to. And Dana's like, you know what? You got to go to the press conference or you're not fighting.
You've got to do promotion leading up to the fight. Every single fighter has to.
And then I would guess, in his mind, I would mm-hmm. guess once he puts out that tweet, everybody's going to go crazy.
Oh, no.
Right?
We need you, Conor.
And then they're all going to call Dana or whatever. And Dana's going to go, okay, you don't have to be there. Like
yep.
I assume that's what he thought would happen. But here's Dana White on SportsCenter.
What is going on here with Conor McGregor?
Well, what's happened is we pulled Conor McGregor from UFC 200, and we're working on other fights right now. Conor did not want to come to Las Vegas and film the commercial or be a part of any of the marketing that we have. He's in Iceland training, and it's not possible. You know, this has only happened one other time in UFC history. It's when Nick Diaz didn't show up for the press conference with his fight with George St. Pierre, and I pulled Nick Diaz from the fight. You know, and we've had other instances like this where guys didn't want to do the press conference. You have to do the press conference. So Conor put out that tweet. You know, is Conor McGregor retiring? Only he can answer that question. I don't know. But he's not fighting at UFC 200.
Can you give
me
some clarity?
Let me stop you right there. So this fight is still 3 months out. It does – I mean, look, I know it's a pain in the ass to fly from Iceland to Las Vegas, spend a day, and then turn around and fly back.
Yeah, but you're like going to make $10 million or whatever. Maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, and you were just in Dublin watching a fight. It's not like taking a break is something that you can't do. He's full of crap. Let's call it how it is. Connor was trying to pull Dana's chain, yank his chain, and say, I'm not coming. What are you going to do? And mm-hmm. Dana said, you're out of the fight. I can guarantee his butt went, oh, wait, what? He was not.
His butt clenched
and
so
talked.
Cool. Wow.
That's what happened. I think this is all just posturing, and it's silly, and it's just ridiculous.
Are they going to work it out between now and then?
I hope they don't.
Really?
Yeah, and I hope Connor goes to the WWE. It's just me.
Okay. All right. That's a new twist. Let's continue.
Can you give me some clarity on why he decided not to show up to do all this?
He didn't want to. You know, he is in Iceland training, and he felt that leaving right now would hurt his training and getting ready for this fight.
What is Connor's future with UFC after news like this?
Well, obviously, we still have, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we still have a good relationship with Connor. You know, I respect Connor as a fighter, and I like him as a person. It's just you can't decide to not show up to these things. Nate Diaz is flying into Las Vegas tonight with his team, and we're getting together with Nate and probably going to make another fight for Nate Diaz and add another fight to UFC 200 that we're working on right now.
Let's get Beer Mug on that card with Nate Diaz.
Oh,
there's your answer.
Sweet.
There's the UFC 200 for the ages right there.
That would be so sweet.
Veep returns on Sunday, you guys, to HBO.
Yeah, it does.
Tim Simons plays Joan on the show. He's going to be joining us in studio coming up next hour here on
Jonad.
Jonad.
And then at 8 o'clock... one of our all-time favorite K-Rock bands, Garbage, will be here hand-delivering their brand-new single called Empty. You will hear it first in the world here on K-Rock this morning. And by the way, I think there's talk that we'll be Facebook Live-ing that interview as well. So you can not only get to listen to, but you get to see Garbage joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show later on this morning.
Correct. Let's talk about Creepy.
Let's
talk about Mr. Creepy.
Hashtag being so creepy.
I feel like this was covered yesterday, and we've moved on. What are you talking about?
We'd like to cover it a little more because we feel like perhaps you missed the point.
There was just a small conversation had early in yesterday's show, and I think a lot of people may be missing out on hashtag being so creepy.
All right. May I say what happened?
Sure.
And then you'll put your evil, dirty spin
on it. No, then we'll
say
what really happened, but
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was on a plane coming down to see y'all yesterday. We had a thing, and there was a model on the plane who I recognized.
Creepy alert! Creepy alert! Creepy alert!
Models are allowed to fly. There's nothing creepy about that. So there's this young woman on the plane who I recognized as being a famous model. I have seen her in magazines. I have seen her in layouts. And I knew who she was.
Wait
but
a minute!
I couldn't.
Layouts. Magazines and layouts?
Who yes. says layouts?
She's been in photo shoots and in photography.
Yes.
What
that's,
kind of
that's
model
correct.
Is this?
Right. She's one of those kind of models that's photographed.
Oh,
right?
One of those.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. She's the kind of model that goes in front of the camera. So I see her and I recognize her.
Right.
And just like with any other celebrity, oh, I know that face, but, ooh, what's her name? I can't think of her name. So it's driving me crazy. The whole time I was on this flight, I couldn't figure out who she was.
Mm-hmm. It's a two-hour flight? You thought about this for 2 hours?
I did. Well, I did exhaustive research, you know, Google image searching models, and I just could not come up with the one. I didn't have an answer by the time the plane landed.
Okay.
Imagine so the person sitting next to Bean on the plane.
Oh, dear Lord.
He's just scrolling through page after page of scantily clad models.
Oh, it's not her.
Like, oh, not her. Stupid. Can I get a disinfectant, please?
So Bean tweets, okay, there's a model on my plane. I don't know who it is now, so I have to research pictures of models the whole flight to ID her.
Right. So that's what happened. So then plane lands, and I am no closer to an answer. Still have not put the name to the face. So we're walking off the plane, and you know, at LAX, you walk down that long hallway to get to baggage claim, and we leave the plane at the same time, and I happen to be behind her.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this will be I'm sure that there are people who are following me on Twitter, at Clyde Tumbaugh, who are curious if I ever was able to identify this.
Oh,
model.
They so must be dying. Waiting for the
well,
answer.
Well, I know for those 2 hours, I was riveted. Couldn't stop
Allie
staring
just
at that
staring
feet.
At her phone,
refresh,
doing nothing
refresh,
else.
Refresh,
where's
who is
the response? Where's the answer?
Wait, Bean, are you serious?
He is!
I felt like there needed to be some sort of resolution. I felt like I
to
had given
what?
This, I'd given the setup.
To your lame-ass joke model tweet?
It wasn't a joke. It was for real.
I must do research for 2 hours on the plane. That's a lame-ass
model
joke.
That's a joke, right.
No,
that's a joke. No, the thing was, I thought there might be people who, hey, I wonder what model was on Bean's flight, because
oh, no,
I had pointed out that there was a model on the
flight. No one thinks other people are waiting for their tweet resolution. No one thinks that. Patton Oswalt doesn't think that.
So the point is, as we're walking down the hallway to baggage claim, I think, you know how to put this to bed, is to just take a picture of the lady and say, well, I blew it. I couldn't find out who it was, so long.
Now, when you say take a picture of the lady, mm-hmm. you take a picture of the model from behind. So had you taken a picture of her face, maybe
we could figure out who she was.
Could have identified who it was.
Maybe then your mystery tweet could finally be resolved that everyone was waiting for. Maybe the great national mystery could finally be ended. But no, you just took a creepy tweet of a woman from behind without her knowing it.
I'll always remember her walking away. Were words in the tweet accompanying the picture of her butt?
Hate to see you leave, but I love to watch you go. Boom, boner. Why don't you just write that and take a picture?
Never did put a name to the face of the famous model on my flight today, but I will always remember her walking away.
Click. Look. Surreptitious click.
You're trying to make it sound creepy. There was nothing creepy
about
it.
We're just reading it.
And it's also not a picture of her butt, okay? It's a full length as she's walking away. Her entire body from shoes to head is in the photo. So it's not like it was some sort of a close-up on her ass or anything like that. It wasn't at all invasive or creepy.
Why take that picture? That picture helps nobody. It doesn't help identify her. Nothing. It just
we don't see what she looks like. We don't know what model it is, and it's nothing. Just you taking a picture of a woman without her permission from a weird position.
Now, guys, I could have asked her. I could have bothered her on the plane and said, "Hey, who are you?" Or, "Hey, can I take a picture?" I mean, but I didn't want to bother her.
Okay, here's another option, and this is what I would have done. I would have done this. Hey, that looks like a model. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. Oh well. Then I would move on and we get, whatever book I'm reading.
That's
funny. Yeah. But I wouldn't care. Why do you care so much? Why do you have to have that answer? I know you need all answers.
Look, you guys try to make it creepy.
I'm asking why you need that answer.
Okay, I'm trying to answer.
All right.
You guys try to make it creepy because in this case it was a model. But if you were at a restaurant and across the room at another table was an actor who you recognized and you couldn't put a face to the name, it would be something that you would think about. Like, I know that dude. Where have I seen that guy?
So I'd wait till he goes to the restroom and then I'd take a picture of him without
from
him
behind.
Knowing from behind while he's walking past me. Because that'll help. That'll help the whole situation.
Bean, I'm going to suggest.
Creepy effer.
I'm going to suggest again that Ralph and Allie and me and Chip and everybody else in the world would have, in that restaurant scene, gone, hey, that's an actor that I recognize. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to eat now. That's it. You don't have to find out who it is.
I don't like.
Who cares?
I like things to be resolved. I like things to
have
a beginning.
This has nothing to do with your resolving a mystery. This has to do with you taking a picture of a woman without her consent from behind. It's just creepy.
At least he didn't post it on the internet.
Oh, that's true. Oh, wait a minute.
Look, guys,
I will always remember her walking away.
Yes.
As if there was. That,
oh,
by the way,
the time we spent together.
That insinuates that there's so much more relationship.
Me wondering about her and her not knowing I was alive.
Right,
I'll
exactly.
never forget those times.
Guys, I didn't follow her to her hotel and then take a picture through the blinds in her room. Okay?
How do you know she went to a hotel then?
She was going. This was in a public place, just like, I mean,
so
just
like
upskirt photography. You're That's
creep.
What I told the judge at the mall. She was in a public place.
It's true.
And I dropped my cell phone and took 100 pictures.
Not my fault she wasn't wearing undies and I
put it
on the internet.
I need a resolution to my penis.
I meant nothing creepy about it, by the way.
It doesn't matter whether you meant it to
it
be
wasn't
creepy.
It wasn't a close-up on body
parts.
Maybe
just naturally creepy. Maybe you don't have to try.
It wasn't invasive to her in any way. It didn't even identify her, for God's sakes, because I still
then
don't know who
she was. Then why take the picture?
It doesn't identify upskirt photo women either. You're not like, oh, shoot, is that Jenny's vagina? No, it's creepy, Bean. You don't
this
see
is
that?
This is hardly the same as an upskirt
I
photo,
I would love
for
to
God's
know
sake.
If women feel comfortable if they're walking around a public place of men just taking pictures of them without them knowing it.
They love it.
Nope.
I would like to know how women feel about it.
We don't have much time, but 1-800-520 1067. If you want to call in and say if that's cool with you.
If you're walking off a plane
right.
and some guy just took a picture of you randomly
from behind right.
and then posted it on the internet, would that give you a warm, fuzzy feeling? Or would it give you a cold, clammy feeling like the fingers of death?
That's a loaded question, but I'll accept it.
Which of those two would you lean?
When you put it like that, you do make it sound less than savory. I will tell you that.
Look, less than savory. What's the harm?
I didn't even know about cheddar.
What's the harm to the young lady in question?
It's not your place to photograph her. She's going about her business. She doesn't have to walk around wondering whether men, strange men, are taking pictures of her or not and then posting them on the internet.
What's more important is that you couldn't figure out who she was and you thought the world was waiting for the answer.
That's a cover story, Kevin. He's saying that he needed to do that because the world was waiting for the answer for his tweet to justify his creepy picture taking.
That's not true at all, by the way.
It absolutely is.
It was my way of letting it go and realizing that I'd been
Oh, have you let it go?
I have let it go. I wouldn't have brought it up
again
today.
So you let it go by posting, again, a tweet that you tweeted 2 hours previously that everyone else had already forgotten about. That's how you let it go.
All right. Let's talk to Jasmine, who's on line one from Cyprus, who's going to tell you guys that there's no harm, no foul here.
All right.
She wouldn't have any problem with this at all. Hey, Jasmine, welcome to the show. I appreciate very much you being on my side.
Hey. So my boyfriend actually does this. Where if he sees an attractive woman, like, he takes pictures, like, from whatever angle he can. He thinks that nobody notices. But I've seen, like, in the pictures, like, if they have kids with them, the kids are looking right at him. And it's, like, the most creepiest thing.
Why does he do that?
He's just, I don't know. Like, it's such a pervy thing to do. And he says, like,
why are you with him?
He does it.
Why is he your boyfriend?
I ask myself this all the time.
Why are you with that guy?
All the time. But, I can't wait till one day somebody's boyfriend sees and just punches him in the face.
Oh, you and me both, Jasmine. I can't wait for that to happen.
Okay, really that crazy. Guy's got problems. That guy's got problems.
Yeah,
because
because
he's perving out on hot chicks. That's not what I was doing at all.
You were obsessing for 2 hours on a plane doing research, looking at model pictures, and then taking pictures of a poor woman
you were doing.
You thought that tweet needed a resolution. That's how pervy you are, obsessed you are.
Jasmine, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Camellia in Manhattan Beach. She definitely is going to be on my side.
All right.
No woman is, Bean.
I don't think he understands that.
Yeah.
We could take calls all day and he would go, most people are on my side. Camellia, hi.
Hi.
So you're getting off a plane. Somebody takes a picture from behind. All good?
No, not all good.
Not all good.
No.
I see where Bean was going with that, though. Like, I would want to take a picture and find out who she was. But if it was me personally, very creepy.
But you take a picture maybe of her face.
Yes, of her face, definitely.
Maybe a selfie or something.
Maybe with her walking behind me and I'm trying to take a selfie.
Oh, like a stealth selfie with her in the background.
Yeah, I love the selfies.
I get it.
This is just me taking a selfie. Oh, is there someone famous behind me?
At least Bean could literally pretend it was for a reason, and we'd actually have to buy it as opposed to his BS story he's trying to spin now.
Yeah.
I am sticking with my story, and one day I'll find her, and one day we'll be together.
Wait,
that's not what I did I say that out loud?
So creepy.
Yes, you did. I just thought it needed some resolution. It's my thing. Resolution.
Finally.
America was on pins and needles. Waiting for the tweet finale that was being promised. It was like Game of Thrones and Dexter crossed with The Flash. Everyone needed to know what was going to happen with the resolution.
6:55, Wednesday morning. Rob is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You act like you're exhausted.
Right?
Imagine being us. Hey, why are we going backwards? Why are we spinning our wheels?
Who's going backwards?
Everybody.
How?
America. We're going backwards.
I thought we were making America great again.
We're not. No? We're making America crappy again. Here's the thing. There was a time in this great nation of ours where you could go about your business to a certain extent and people, for the most part, left you alone.
Right.
Now...
Now people take pictures of you after you get off the plane from behind?
Right. You got people taking pictures of you. And, for example, in the 70s, right, Deep Throat was a wildly popular...
Porn.
porn film.
Right.
It was also part of pop culture. And people are like, oh, that's adorable. There's a porn movie. It's playing at a theater. And people are going. People are having a good time. And yeah. They made jokes about it and said, ah, funny, porn, great. I'm not going to go over here and deal with something that really matters now because I have a busy life. But that's cute, the whole porn thing that's going on. Now, the governor of Utah signed a resolution yesterday declaring pornography a public health crisis. A governor of a state that's got things to do
really
took time out of his day to declare porn a public health crisis.
Does anybody need that much porno?
We must battle porn. It's an epidemic harming the state and the country, said the resolution. Combat pornography. What? Just leave. Let me just be here by myself with myself doing watching what I'm watching. You don't need to worry about it, Utah.
They have no other problems?
Apparently not.
There was a time, and I'm not sure if it's still this way, that they were the number one purveyor of porn.
Oh,
Utah.
Yes, they are
because
still to this day.
They're
yeah,
a repressed
right.
people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're so busy making laws against pornography that they can't wait to get home and spank it.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Ralph, but and I was going to suggest we talk to Dr. Drew about this when we have him on tomorrow, because porn addiction has become a real problem for a lot of people, and I think that's the intent. He's not trying to ban or limit porn in any way in his state. He's basically trying to get the awareness raised that it can be a serious problem for a lot of
people.
So
it's an epidemic?
Yes, according to him, yes, it is.
According to him. You know what the definition of epidemic is?
Mm-hmm. You're saying this.
Do you know? Do you know the definition of epidemic? Do you think pornography addiction is an epidemic in this country?
I mean, I don't know. That's why I wanted to talk to Dr. Drew about it. Is I don't know as much about this topic as he would. I bet that it is a higher percentage of people who have negative effects of pornography than ever before in history.
You don't think that Utah, being an extraordinarily conservative religious state, is in essence trying to continue its long history of stigmatizing sex and masturbation with this resolution? I'm sorry, is this thing on?
It is, yeah.
All
yeah.
I know is this is making me extremely horny.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's the,
yeah.
Sort of the point.
It's the opposite effect, Utah. Sorry! Chuck! So burned. All right, now that everyone has an erection, let me take it right away from you. Chicago. We love the city of Chicago. You know, they've got a Saved by the Bell-themed diner that they've opened up, a pop-up diner that was so wildly successful, they're opening up another one. It's called Saved by the Max. The Max, of course, was the name of the diner on Saved by the Bell. And you can get, like, AC sliders and Lisa Turtle milkshakes.
Right.
It's a huge hit
uh-huh.
in the city of Chicago. So I thought, since we have an expert on staff, we'd bring in my friend Johnny Chicago to tell you more about the diner.
How you guys doing here over here?
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny Chicago.
This is just great news. They're going to put up a Saved by the Bell theme restaurant right where I grew up in Wicker Park over there.
Oh.
And listen, if you want tickets, you got to go to SavedByTheMax.com and you got to reserve them this Friday. They're going to go on sale.
Yeah, the diner will open on June the 1st, and as I mentioned, you can get AC sliders, you can get all kinds of the Saved by the Bell themed foods, and also get cocktails, and it looks just like the Max Diner from Saved by the Bell.
You have to buy tickets?
Yes,
you got to reserve tickets, and you can reserve them this Friday. The restaurant, like Ralph said, doesn't open until June 1st,
right.
But you
got to
get your tickets quick.
Right.
It's a pop-up.
Okay.
It's an installation. It's an event.
I wonder if Kelly Kapowski will be there. With a name like that, she's perfect for Chicago.
Yes, she is, Johnny Chicago.
Thank you, Johnny Chicago.
Why is she perfect with that name?
Kelly Kapowski, Bill Swirsky, yeah.
A lot of skis.
Okay, sorry. Johnny.
And she's hot.
Okay.
Get out.
Why don't you go get yourself a bratwurst and wash it down with a nice cold brew.
Kevin doesn't like me, I don't
get
think.
Out.
Thank you, Johnny Chicago, for that Chicago showbiz
That's
update.
On you, Ralph. That whole thing was
on
you.
I'll wear it all day. You kidding me?
He walked in and Kevin was instantly mad.
Greatest thing ever.
I think it's wonderful that we have a resource.
I do too.
Staff,
and I
would
wear that proudly.
Great resource.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. I don't want to hear from the guy who brings Sam the Armenian comedian on the show.
How dare you?
I win.
That guy just
Josh
did
Chicago
work.
Crushes Sam the Armenian
Please.
Comedian
so
all
much.
Day long.
Today's celebrity birthdays. George Takei is 79 years old today. Jessica Lange is 67. Andy Serkis is 52. Crispin Glover, also 52. Carmen Electra turns 44 years old today. Killer Mike from Run the Jewels, 41 years old. Joey Lawrence is 40, and Miranda Kerr is 33 years old today. Did you ever take a picture of Miranda Kerr from behind? She's a model bean.
I haven't yet, no.
No.
Yet.
Put it on my list.
Can't wait for the resolution.
He's hoping.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
It's the return of Veep this Sunday night on HBO. Our friend Timothy Simons, he plays Jonah on the show, is going to be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes. And how about brand new music from the band Garbage at 8 o'clock? They're going to be bringing that in. Love that band so much.
Same.
Have you heard the new song? I haven't heard
the new song.
No.
Can't wait. Allie, how much time have you spent since last week when we brought our listeners the thrilling story of Inky's escape from the zoo in New Zealand? Or the aquarium, I should say, in New Zealand.
How much time has she spent?
Thinking about it, oh. Yes.
Oh, thinking about it. Not a lot, but when I do think about it, which is, again, not a lot, it's good times.
Catch us up, B. For the people who weren't listening then, catch us up.
Inky was, and hopefully still is, an octopus who had been found in the off the Paniya Reef in New Zealand and had been attacked by some other fish. He was injured. He was hurt. He's missing some tentacles. And they rehabbed him at the aquarium there in New Zealand. And he became a fan favorite. He was very personable. he would squirt water at
you. Sure, he'd sign autographs.
He was very smart. People knew and loved Inky. Inky was in an aquarium with Blotchy. They were friends.
Sure, and, Inky and Blotchy.
Inky, by the way, was very smart, as all octopuses are, and he could even open a jar. He could screw the top off of a jar.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of dexterity he had.
Right.
So Inky was very popular and lived there for about a year. And then one day the keepers came in and they found out that Inky had escaped. He had pushed his way through a tiny gap in the mesh at the top of his tank. And then he slithered down the tank onto the floor and then 6 feet across the floor into a drain hole. And went through this 165-foot pipe, this drain hole that comes out of the aquarium, back into the Pacific Ocean. So it was like an Ocean's 11 type escape that he made.
It really is a great story.
He's the El Chapo of octopuses. It's crazy.
It's fantastic. And part of the reason I have been spending so much time thinking about Inky, first of all, I miss Inky. I love Inky.
You don't know Inky.
Part of the reason I have been spending so much time thinking about it is there has been quite a debate online as to whether he knew he was escaping to freedom or if he was just doing what octopuses do, which is like to squeeze through little things. Like, did he know he was in captivity and did he know there was freedom on the other side of that drain pipe? Was he making a break for it, or is he as surprised, is he just shocked when he gets out of the other end of that pipe and he's in the ocean?
There's a lot of talk about this online.
This is a debate online.
It's a big thing.
I am on the Inky message board. So that's why, having said all that, I am thrilled. And I don't know how Dave did it, but Dave was able to get a number. And I believe we have Inky on the phone. I think Inky is going to be joining us now here on the Kevin Avin Show. We can find out from his first-person perspective what went down. Inky, welcome to the show, sir.
Apparently you think more about me than I think about me.
So,
oi, Inky here. How's it going?
First of all, I'm delighted.
I don't know. How do you miss me, by the way? I've never met you, sir.
Right. It's just I liked the fact that we lived in a world where Inky the octopus was entertaining the kids. He was entertaining the kids. But Inky,
entertaining
isn't
the kids. I didn't do birthday parties. I didn't blow balloons and sing little dances.
Oh, I don't know. Bean said you were a fan favorite.
He also said how smart I was because I could open a jar.
Yeah, he said you could open a jar. That's true.
That is smart.
There's children who can open jars.
Octopuses are very smart. So,
because
first
I can open a jar.
Yes.
I'm on a bleeding telephone right now.
What I'm saying is lots of animals can't open a jar. Go home and ask your dog if he can open a jar, and I think you'll find out no.
A dog can lick his own balls. I'd rather be able to do that. It's more of a handy skill.
Inky, were you not happy there at the Aquarium of New Zealand?
Hey, it's all right.
Uh-huh.
But I'd rather be in the ocean.
So okay. You knew, B was asking, you knew that you were in captivity there and you wanted to get out and you made a run for freedom, right?
Well, run.
Well, you know what I mean.
A slither.
Did a
slither.
A slither,
in a
right.
slime trail, if you will.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And how is it being back in the ocean? Is it as great as you... I mean... Well, the reason I ask is because...
It's good, thanks.
When you're in the aquarium...
Between an ocean creature and all.
Right, thanks. But when you're in the aquarium, you have a nice man who comes around and feeds you every day, and you don't have to worry about being attacked by other fish.
Good point. If only there were fish in the ocean to eat. Where do you think that bloke got the fish from that he gave me in the cage?
I'm just saying...
There again!
It seems like it might have been safer and easier to be in the aquarium. That's just why I was curious.
Oh, you're one of those, eh? Hey, just get in the cage. It'll be safe and easy for you in there. I'll take care of you. Don't
That's
worry
mean.
About it, lady.
Right?
Let me take a picture of you from behind.
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about with that.
What are you talking about?
I'm not having
sense.
Any of it. I'm a free man. See, free.
Okay.
Can't hold me in your cage with promises right. of easy living and clean shellfish.
How's the ocean?
Good. Wide open. Join it. Lots.
Inky, one of the minders.
They call you Flemmy. They call me Inky. They should call you Flemmy.
One of the minders at the aquarium last week wondered if they might ever see you again. They were wondering if
no!
you might break back into the aquarium and then you just show up one day.
Why would you
I had to squeeze through a freaking pipe to get out to the ocean. And by the way, right. people say, oh, did he know where he was going? Yes, of course I did.
So
why would I slither across a cement floor and force myself through a drain pipe if I didn't know the ocean was on the other end?
So you're not going to break back in?
No!
Hey, what about just to say hi to
you people open a jar because you seem very dumb?
That's true.
He's one of our favorite actors on one of our favorite shows. Veep returns to HBO this Sunday night at 10:30 for the season 5 premiere. Ladies and gentlemen, he plays Jonah on the program. Timothy Simons joins us back in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Better now that Veep's coming back. That's for goddamn sure.
So excited.
You guys went off, when was the last season? Late 1990s? Well, how long has it been since you guys been on the air?
It was, this is like a reboot or whatever. We've been off the air for 12 years.
Right.
So it's just, I mean, I just like the attention. So it's
sure,
really good for
right.
me to
sure.
be back. Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't hire some younger, prettier people to play all of your roles again. Like there's a 17-year-old Jonah now.
there's just a Jonah that walks around with his shirt off and he's just ripped.
CW just. Jonah. Veep the early years.
It does seem like it's been unusually long, I think, is the point between seasons. Has it been about the same as between the other
I think
years?
It's been about the same as the other. I'm just happy to know that you guys miss it that much. That it feels longer.
Also because... HBO has the truncated seasons as opposed to regular television. It seems longer because we get less episodes.
Yeah, we've always done 10. The first season we did 8, but we've always done 10 since then. And I think even like 13 episodes, like it just seems like a little bit, like that little bit longer gets you through the off season.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Now you come back. Now Sunday night is mm-hmm. Game of Thrones also, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Andy, big night.
You seem giddy.
I know I am. Like I get. I was able to go to the premiere, the Game of Thrones premiere in Los Angeles, which was amazing because I was able to see the first episode. But all that really means is that, like, it's a double-edged sword. I now have to wait longer to see more.
To see the next one, right?
But no, I think it's great. Like I would have been sitting on a couch. That's what I've always loved about being on the same night as Game of Thrones is that I would have been on my couch watching. HBO right. anyway.
Do you end up watching Veep?
I do.
Because I feel like there's so much stuff that goes on that you're not a part of as an actor.
That's only with Jonah, I've always kind of come in and said a terrible thing, and then they've asked me to leave.
Like, it's a terrible thing saying, guy.
Much like your appearances on this show.
Oh, stop it, Bean.
So there is, and because the show's because the writing of the show is so fluid because it changes all the time, there are jokes that I've just never heard, like never heard them in a table
read.
Is
that right?
Yeah, and so for me, there I'd say 75% of the show is brand new to me.
Wow.
Especially this year, and like in the last couple years since she became president last year,
mm-hmm.
The world just got so much bigger. The scenes that we were in were shorter. We were in fewer scenes where there were like all 11 of us were in the same room.
Right.
So even in these last 2 years, it's just, it's Yeah, all of it just is new because I'm just sort of off doing my own sort of douchey thing. And then I get to just be a fan. Like, I just get to be a fan of watching Gary Cole do his thing.
Right, but
if
you're
a lap.
But if you're a fan and you're watching that, then does it throw you off when you come in?
No, I just think, wow, who's this handsome?
Who's that guy?
Who's this
handsome
he's devil? Good
looking. I would so do Jonah. He is hot.
That guy gets a bad rap. He seems like he's got a lot going on.
Isn't it changed this year having a new showrunner and a lot of new writers? Does it infuse the process with a little extra energy because you've got some new blood on board, or is it a little scary because you're losing some people you counted on for many seasons?
I think it's both. One amazing thing is that our new showrunner, Dave Mandel, he has the perfect pedigree to come and take over this show. His comedy background is, I think he went straight from college to Saturday Night Live. After Saturday Night Live, he worked on Seinfeld, and I think at one point showran Seinfeld, and then he was one of the showrunners of Curb Your Enthusiasm, so his comedy background is amazing.
So no pedigree.
Wow. No pedigree, but he also studied government at Harvard, so like... It's the perfect guy to come in and run this show.
Because Armando Iannucci, who came from England, was also sort of a savant in that area. He knew a lot about government and a lot about funny.
Yeah. So Dave was an amazing person. So I think we've always trusted Dave. We have trusted him immediately. And he knew the tone of the show from the first moment that we met him and the first moment that he was talking about how the season would go. He really knew the tone of the show. And so that made me very comfortable. But no matter what, like, we had a lot of change, and it's uncomfortable for a couple weeks as you try to figure out how you talk to, because after 4 years, we had all created a shorthand. We had all created a language. And so that wasn't there when we first showed up this season. But, you know, it was fun to find a new language. It was fun to kind of create that again. You know, a little nerve-wracking in some points, but ultimately really great. I think it's just a testament to the crew that we have. Like, we have a really good crew. We have a really good working environment. And I think... other casts that didn't get along, this might have been a fracturing moment, but I think for us, I think we were all looking forward to it.
You though have writers who don't throw away anybody. Actually, everybody has something good
for
one reason or another, and that's the genius part of the show. There are a lot of you, and none of them are meaningless.
Yeah, and true. Even if there are, it's like been a great thing. Even if your episode, like even if I'm not in an episode a lot.
Those are the best ones.
You can all.
Oh, what a dick.
Wow, Dean.
With the mic.
Seriously,
and the turning of the down.
Is there a way to just stop with that?
I'm sorry. You just always know that even if you only get to say one line, it's going to be one of the funnier. It's going to be one of the funnier bits you're ever going to be able to say. So, like, there's always a comfort in that.
If you have one line, do you sit there and really work it out? Like, work every different way? Because it's the only line you have in that one episode. You want to make sure that you maximize it.
I will say this. I'm sure, like, I think if you ask any actor what the hardest thing to do is, to come into a giant scene and say one line and leave. Like, the hardest thing in acting to do is, like, come in, say, here are your eggs, and then walk away. That is literally the hardest thing you can do.
Yes. It's way too much pressure, first of all. And you don't want to be the guy that screws up that take, too, when you come in. Because everyone else is working so hard, and you've got the one line.
And the director's like, eggs guy? Eggs guy messed up that take?
Really?
Okay, I guess we're going again because eggs guy couldn't get it together.
Tony Hale won an Emmy
for
his portrayal on Veep, and he's just become insufferable since then, I would imagine, right? Like, you can't even talk to him. You can't look him in the eye, right?
No, but the thing is, he texts me pictures of the Emmy every morning. And he doesn't even put it – he just lets me imply what he's saying with the picture. There's no text and, like, no words with it. It's just
hey, look at this.
Just take a look at this.
And this isn't yours.
This isn't yours. This isn't – every time a check shows up at a restaurant, we'll go out to lunch, the check will be put on the table and he'll just look off to the side as if he did not see
it. Emmy winners don't pay.
It's just insufferable. It really is insufferable.
I mean, I know the deal is with your cast, as Kevin pointed out, is it's so deep. I mean, I almost feel like there could be a spinoff and half a dozen characters on the show because they're so funny to see. But Tony Hale is just like... a master. I mean, it's unbelievable how funny that guy is. You can't believe he's real sometimes with the things that he does, the subtle things that he does with his face and the way he works on that show. It just must be so much fun just to be there with him.
Oh, we're talking to Tim Simons.
Yeah,
we're
Tim Simons and Veep in the studio here. Bean.
No, but I know that he's a huge Tony Hale fan too, and I just think Mr. Hale needs his due.
Well, Tim, you're the one that told us about the Tony Hale lap.
Yeah,
which
doing
is
like
brilliant.
Doing a Tony Hale pass on every episode of the show is a good thing. It's.
Which is, explain to people who didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. It's just that watch our show when it comes on, and then a couple days later, watch it again and only look at Tony Hale as a scene is going on. Because there is a whole other show going on that you don't see unless you're just looking right at him. Like, the way he internalizes her cruelty to him.
How he absorbs it to his core.
And he's built into this character. There are these things where he has such a huge heart, and he has this background. Like, he has like a religious Gary has this religious background that works in opposite to how truly terrible these people are.
Right.
And just to see him trying to rationalize that, that Tony Hale pass is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good tip.
But being on set with him is, I mean, obviously it's great and I love him, but it's hard to be in scenes with him because he is so funny. So, like, it's hard to make eye contact with Tony in a scene because
you just want
to
watch him.
I'm unprofessional and I will just laugh. I'm the eggs guy.
Eggs guy.
Why
is eggs guy laughing?
Somehow, after 5 years, Tim has not gotten it together.
Tim Simons is our guest here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about Veep returning to HBO. Finally, season 5 premiere is this Sunday night at 10:30. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock. Actor Timothy Simons in studio with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the return of Veep this Sunday night on HBO. By the way, Tim, your friend Patton Oswalt, who's had his hands in your shorts on that show, he's joining us Monday. He'll be here Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
I don't know if he actually ever had his hand down his shorts, Bean.
Well,
that might have been just in a fever dream you had after watching an episode.
It was cupping over the
cupping,
pants.
Right?
They were close.
It was
is
a
what
gentle
I
cupping.
There were.
It was always
on screen. It was over the clothes.
It was over the clothes. Uh-huh. There was cupping. There was light tapping.
Right.
There was. There was some sort of solid. There was a one solid grab.
A handshake, if you will, to the groin.
Like a real how do you do.
That's what it's known in the Urban Dictionary, is the how do you do.
I remember trying to explain to people when they'd be like, well, what do you have coming up this season? I was like, how do I gently describe what is going to be going on with me?
I don't think you do.
I don't.
I don't think that's possible.
Did it give you conflicting feelings in your mind, though, Timothy? Did you think, wait a minute, I'm enjoying this more than I should be?
No, just because it was Patton, there was no conflict there at all. I loved every second of it. And I knew going into it I was going to love every second of it.
Hey, you're in The Boss?
I am, yeah. I play...
Bean sounds surprised.
Yeah. Well, because I didn't know.
He's allowed to work outside.
But I didn't know you were in. This is the Melissa McCarthy movie that's out right now. And Kevin went to see it, right, Kevin? And didn't mention you were in it. I was surprised.
But Kevin did not see it.
I want to, yeah.
It's the number one movie in America.
Yeah, number one movie in America. I play Peter Dinklage's idiot brother. And sort of ever-present idiot assistant brother. Which was fantastic. That, like, Melissa and her husband Ben directed it. They just run a really, really fun set. Like, there is no joke that is out of bounds. Like, sort of in the opposite of like Veep, everybody kind of has to be like a reality hawk. Like, all the jokes have to come out of a very specific reality. And in theirs, especially in this movie. It, like, there is no reality
just
that
nonsense.
Cannot. It's just, there's no reality that can't be broken in it. Just like the movie is super funny, and Melissa McCarthy is unbelievable in it.
I love her so much.
She, yeah.
So
much. There's a joke in that movie that every time I think of it, I can't stop laughing. Like a Girl Scout, or I think they're a dandelion, they're called in the movie, said something sort of disparaging to Melissa, and she looks over at the girl's mom and goes, "What did he say?" And it has that sort of, venomous smile that Melissa can do super well. It's very funny.
What was Dinklage like? Did you meet him for the first time, or had you known him through HBO prior, since you guys both have shows?
I think I had met him sort of in passing, because, like, Walshy knows him from
from New York, like when he was coming up in UCB, they knew each other, so we had met in passing before.
Seems like a super sharp, intelligent, funny guy.
He is, yeah. And I was kind of expecting him to be, you know, because of his work on Game of Thrones, which is so heavy. I was sort of expecting him to be very, very broody, but he was
carrying a sword.
Yes,
threatening you.
I had a lot of questions about dragons for him.
No separation, though.
I've been watching that. I'm very excited for the turn of this Game of Thrones documentary. I just thought that he would be very, you know, very serious and very quiet. But right. He was sort of as down for set bits and jokes as anybody else. And to this day, we are still there. It's not worth going into the why it's happening, but we have been sending pictures of Adam Driver to one another for the last year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's happening?
All right, that's a strange thing.
I sent him a Christmas card, like, you know, the family Christmas card here is, and like I just substituted pictures of Adam Driver in our Christmas card for Pete.
What a weird life you have.
It's very strange.
I think I feel better not knowing why. I just love that.
It's just absurd.
That's funny.
All right, what can you tell us about this season?
Let's see.
Of Game of Thrones.
Are we in a contested beat? Back to beat.
Are we in a contested election? Is that how we ended last season?
We are in an electoral tie.
Right.
Okay.
And I think very early on, possibly even in the last episode of last season, it comes up. Why wouldn't the founders of our country have just made it an odd number? So that's where we are. We are in an electoral tie, and the season is sort of about figuring that out, is sort of parsing that out. It's one of those things where, like, even in the seventh episode of the season, I think every once in a while we just check it in with one another, like, how does this work? So it goes to Congress? And then it is the most backwards, convoluted thing that if somebody had just added one electoral vote or taken one away, it would have been fine.
Could have avoided all of
this. The final episode of last season, when they're sort of describing that process, the look of just sheer horror on Julia's face is really one of the funniest things I saw last year.
And then when it comes out that it is a tie, she turns to the crowd and says, "We did it." It's so amazing. That's where we pick up with trying to figure that out and trying to parse.
I feel like that's where we are in real life now too.
Yeah,
everything.
Donald Trump becomes president, your show is done.
How do you parody that?
Right.
It's impossible. It really has been strange over the past couple months, sort of as Donald Trump was on this rise when we were shooting. It has come to a point where I almost think that, like, real politics, current politics, is impossible to parody.
Right.
It's impossible to satirize. So it's almost like we're a modern period piece where we're like, okay, just pretend that politics isn't on fire. We are satirizing politics from 12 months ago when things made very little sense, but at least more sense than this.
Right. I think Selina Meyer is starting to look like the reasonable candidate.
Oh, I would so vote for her
in real life
right
compared
now.
To what we've got offered. All right, Tim Consimus is
sorry,
here.
Donald.
Speaking in front of the crowd, I think the clip that we pulled, because we love to represent great work on the show, is so funny. And if I recall correctly, this is you from last season. You're on stage, and maybe this is when they're still counting votes on the general election, but you're stalling while you're waiting for Selina to get on stage, and you're doing some of your patented Jonah material.
I just want to say thank you for supporting the men's health campaign and letting me tell guys that they should feel themselves up. Easiest job I ever had. You guys remember my catchphrase, right? Remember it? Check 'em, don't neglect 'em. Nice. You guys remember the A team, right? A team. I'm the A team, Mr. T. They were supposed to be on the run, but you know, they were in a really distinctive van. Yeah, what was up with that?
Your character is so awkward.
Well, you do not give some people even a little bit of encouragement because no good can come from it. It really is like I think that sort of speaks to the heart of of his character that he takes being molested in the workplace and he spins it somehow positive. Like, this is really, like, I'm really getting my face out there. Like, this ended up being the best
thing for me. I've got a
brand. I've got a brand now. And I can build off that. Like, you give him one, you give him a pebble and he's like, I'm laying a foundation. You know? And but then, of course, he just gets in his own way. Like, it's all going great. Oh. And then he's like, and then he, you know, like, you put the mic stand behind you because now I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm going to give him my, I've been working on my best
you
material.
You lose everybody immediately all at once. Yeah. It's not a process at all. Just
well,
gone.
Every scene is a highlight on Veep, and you know that, Timothy. You know what a great show it is, and I know how proud you are to be a part of it. We're just so excited it's coming back on the Sunday night, man. We just can't wait. It's wonderful to see you again. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
Don't talk yet, Ralph. You know your mic's not going to be on. What are
I
you
know.
Doing?
I'm stupid.
Come on.
I come in here and I sit in front of the mic thinking it's going to be on, but I just know it's Kevin. Kevin's a miracle.
Kevin's
the magic man. He's got a new nickname. K-Train is now the magic man.
I only had K-Train for like a week.
Everywhere he goes, just magic happens. It's unbelievable. It's like he's like Yug Dung Henning.
Good reference.
Thanks.
I know that you're in here to do your thing, your nonsense.
Right.
And then,
can I please just do it and be gone?
No, you can do it. But here's what I want to ask you. Because then Garbage is coming.
Oh.
And they're going to be world
premiering.
They're
actually in the studio right
Ralph,
there, Ralph.
Don't turn around.
I can't turn around.
She's right behind you.
I can't
you.
Turn around.
She's looking at you.
Because Garbage is too wonderful, especially mm-hmm. Shirley's too magical.
Right.
And I'm not worthy.
It's I agree.
Like, don't look in the sun. You don't look at the sun, right?
Right.
Because what happens?
You go blind.
Right. And you're selling pencils on a street corner. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to sell pencils.
But couldn't you just shake their hands and just say hi, big fan?
Sell pencils on the street corners out of a tin cup?
I don't think so.
Or am I only thinking of 1940s movies?
What I'm saying is it's likely not going to kill you to just shake their hands and say, hey, thanks for coming to K-Rock, big fan.
But what if she doesn't want to be bothered? What if she's in her zone? Maybe she's prepping for whatever she does before radio interviews. And I come in like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Then I'm just...
Do you have to do that voice?
I'm a big goof. I'm a big goof who's just another bother.
Here's what I'll tell you, though. She wouldn't see you that way because she's awesome.
She wouldn't say she saw me that way.
No, she wouldn't see you that way.
Because she's awesome. She would pretend to be pleasant.
No, I think she
wouldn't see it that way. And congenial, but deep down inside, she might be, oh, who is this asshole? Why is he bothering me? I wish he'd go play in traffic or lay down on a train track.
She would say that?
Or think that's what she's thinking. And then I would know somehow. And
don't
would,
we need to insist
I
that Ralph
feel
interviews
lesser.
I feel like
Garbage.
I do. I
would we need lesser. To insist on that, I think.
It's good. I'm good.
All right. Well, they're coming in world premiere. Their brand new single. It is called Empty from the new album Strange Little Birds. And we will play it for you right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning.
That guy's going to sell pencils on a street corner. That's what she's thinking. No one really does that anymore. Brian Johnson, you may remember him as the lead singer of AC/DC. Not anymore, of course. Axl Rose is now the lead singer of AC/DC.
Sure, because he can do two bands.
Brian Johnson finally speaking out on Axl replacing him for the band's 10 remaining 2016 concerts. It's a long, wordy statement, but I will give you the gist.
Okay.
He refers to Axl as a guest singer for the band.
Okay.
But he explains that the reason he's no longer performing live with the band is doctors told him if he continued to sing in large arenas, he would soon be completely deaf.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really? Okay.
So apparently it's a health issue. He says he's not retiring. He can still sing in the studio and will keep doing that. Now, he didn't say whether it's as singer for AC/DC or whether he's going to do a solo career. But word is that Angus Young is already looking for a permanent replacement for Brian, and it won't be Axl Rose. Axl will just finish out this tour with the band. So that's your AC/DC update.
And AC/DC felt like they wanted to honor those shows that they'd already sold tickets for rather than just cancel the rest of the tour.
Yeah. Right. So that's why Axl stepped into the void, and that's what's happening. But the future of AC/DC is up in the air, so we'll have to wait and see.
Allie could probably do it. I've heard her sing.
Thank you.
She could probably do it.
Yeah. Although I always thought growing up that the lyrics were Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief. So I'd have
Sorry, Dirty Deeds and the what now?
And the Thunder Chief.
Oh, the Thunder Chief.
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief?
Yep.
What? Why did that make more sense to you than Dirty Deeds and Thunder Chief?
I still sing it that way.
What did you think the Thunder Chief was?
Not sure, but wow, was he scary.
Wrong.
A lot of dirty deeds happened.
An old-timey locomotive that was carrying dirty deeds on it?
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief.
Okay, totally maybe not sense. You then. Maybe
okay.
not.
Okay, all right, I'm out.
Around 7:09 in these parts, the old Thunder Chief rolls through. You gotta put the mail on the back so it gets to the West Coast. A lot of guys panning for gold, waiting for the letters from the Sweeties. On the old Thunder Chief.
What the hell's wrong with you?
So much.
A lot.
And Willem Dafoe has been added to the cast of Warner Brothers' Justice League movie with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman. No word on who Willem will play. Some are speculating perhaps a bad guy because, you know, he's got that face.
He does have that face.
He's got bad guy face.
He does.
In a big, bad way. Of course, he's playing Green Goblin in the original Spider-Man movie.
Of course.
Sure.
And J.K. Simmons, by the way, also has been added as Commissioner Gordon. So a lot of good people going to be in this film that comes out in 2017. So
2017.
Circle your calendars. November 17th, 2017, the release date for Justice League.
Ralph, I've got a, I got a question.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Can I just pull the cord?
Yes.
Is there
any point, and that's a serious question, especially with the Civil War coming out, the Avengers Civil War.
The period.
Is there, what?
Nothing. Oh!
at which there are too many superheroes in a movie, and it just becomes ridiculous. Aren't there like 20 superheroes or something like that in Civil War?
Yes. But it's not ridiculous.
Is it too much?
No.
Is it too much?
It's like saying, are there too many politicians on Veep? Are there too many people in government on Veep? No, that's the world. It gets populated by people who belong in that world, right?
There's a way to tell that many stories, though.
Of course there is. Do you only watch movies with three people in them? Most movies have dozens and dozens of characters in them. They all have varying degrees of significance on a plot line, but it's a world populated with characters.
These are all superheroes, and I'm just saying, if you're the 17th superhero in the movie, I just don't know how much of an impact you can make in that film. That's all. It just seems like they're biting off more than they can chew.
If you're the 17th reporter in Spotlight, how much impact do you have on the film?
I don't like it.
Are you going to see it?
Of course not.
Then you shut up.
All right.
When has that ever stopped him from asking a question about anything?
Look, I have a lot of opinions about things I know nothing about.
Today's celebrity birthdays, George Takei. Of course, Mr. Sulu from the Star Trek franchise. Now, of course, we know him as a Quesalupa spokesman.
Sure.
What happened? What happened to George? where did his...
You don't think that's a step up?
His career turn... Oh, my.
How great is male ass?
Remember his country western career? That did not go well.
Didn't go well. I like it.
Ooh, cheesy. Quesalupa. What the hell is going on, George? He's 79 years old today. Jessica Lange is 67. Andy Serkis. He's such a talented guy. Started got his big break basically being a motion capture actor. Remember, he did Gollum and King Kong, and his job would be put on the suit and be filmed for the CGI characters afterwards, but now he's become a full-blown star and director, and I couldn't be happier. Crispin Glover's 52, Carmen Electra's 44, Killer Mike of Run the Jewels, playing Coachella this weekend, by the way, is 41, Joey Lawrence is 40, and Miranda Kerr celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the great K-Rock bands of all time, Garbage, is here. They'll be joining us in studio next on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, this brand new song. We are happy to world premiere for you right now. It is called Empty, New Garbage on K-Rock.
They all seem to know exactly what it is they want to cast me. They
is a new Woo-hoo! Song from Garbage.
Yeah!
How about that?
That's Garbage right there.
Garbage.
Right here in the room. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Welcome Pleasure back. To see you again.
I feel like I've just lost my virginity in some way. All over again.
You guys walk in, and the song is playing, world premiered, brand new Garbage called Empty from the new album called Strange Little Birds, due in June. And Shirley's first words are, we may be old, but we're not cynical. This is still really exciting. And I loved hearing that because, having a song played on the radio, I mean, that's every little kid's dream, right?
Yeah.
When they love music.
So exciting.
Yeah, you never lose that thrill, I'm telling you. That was a good one.
I got goosebumps on my arms.
Well, we're going to be playing it again in a couple of minutes. We have so many questions, even though we just saw you and got a chance to spend some time with you back in October when you came by when we were talking about the 20 Years Queer Tour and everything else that was going on, and marveling at the fact that 20 years later, here you guys are still not only in a band and making great music, but still speaking to one another. It's remarkable.
It's kind of remarkable, actually.
So, like I said, we got a lot of ground we got to cover since then because you've obviously been very busy. How was it making this record? Butch, I'll direct this one to you first because, you know, some of them can be real hard to make and some of them just seem like they're, you know, just easy. How was this one?
I think in general it was pretty easy. We felt like we had a lot of momentum after we did the Not Your Kind of People tour. And we kind of worked on it in waves, like Steve and Duke would fly in. We'd work for 2 weeks, then we'd take a couple weeks off and sort of did that over a good year and a half or so. And
can I just interrupt? That sounds a little lazy. Why don't you?
Hey, watch it.
Say, we could have had this music like 6 months ago.
Well, I guess because we're our own label, we can only kick ourselves in the butt,
okay.
You know,
all
so
right.
There's no one breathing down our necks like there used to be. And it was interesting because we wanted to make a different sounding album too. So I think maybe that's why it took a little longer. Some of the songs just we thought they were going to go one way, and then they went another way. And I think we're really happy with how the record turned out.
Did you come up with any songs that then you went, "Hey, that's not exactly where we want to go in the future. Maybe it sounds a little too much like we used to sound." Did you have that problem or no?
Well, yeah, there are definitely some tracks at the very last minute we left off because they didn't feel like they fit in where our heads are at right now. We're not even sure where our heads are at right now.
I know that there's no right way to make an album. Every band, every artist is different and situations change. But I know that there is something to be said for you get a red hot idea that everybody is grooving on it and it all comes together in a week. I know that thing happens. And then sometimes what you're talking about is it's good to have a little space and then go back and see how you feel about it in the cold light of day and see if you still like it or if you want to change it. And that's kind of how you went building these songs along weeks and months.
Yeah. That's exactly how we approached it, actually, which I think was really good because we came in every month or so with a harsh ear, which is a good way of judging whether something's a good idea or not.
Mm. Do you have times? You must have times where one of you or two of you or three of you even think this is great and somebody else is like, don't like it. Don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a difficult process? That happens too, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a difficult process sometimes?
Yes. It can be. It can be. But
who's the worst?
Out.
Who's the worst? Who's the most difficult person in the band?
Now, I feel I'm getting heisted right now. It's so unfair.
I just asked a general question.
See, no names were spoken.
But
right.
Fingers were pointed.
Fingers
for those
were pointed,
who
yes.
Fingers were pointed towards the pink hair in the middle.
Shirley, what is it you feel when you sit down to write a new record? What is it you feel at this point in your life that you have to say that you haven't said before?
You know, it's funny you should say that because normally, actually, I've never had any intention. I just sort of come to the studio with the band and we see what happens. And in this regard, though, on this record, I definitely had an idea of what I wanted to touch on lyrically. And a lot of that was stuff that I've deliberately avoided for 21 years. So I thought, it was actually when I was on stage with Not Your Kind of People, I remember thinking, why have you never gone to these specific corners of your mind?
Why did you avoid them for 21 years?
Two reasons. One, I wasn't a skilled enough writer because when I joined the band, I'd never written a song in my life. And two, I was too chicken.
Really?
Yep. What changed?
I grew some balls.
You grew some balls. That's not a visual that I want.
They're big and they swing.
you don't have to answer this if it's too personal, if you prefer the lyrics to remain veiled as to their true meanings, but can you give us an idea of what types of categories of things had you been avoiding up until now?
Well, I've been talking about how this record is a romantic record, and what I mean by that is just it's very raw and vulnerable, I suppose. It's really kind of in your face, and I suppose that's what I mean by romantic, because when you're in love, that's when you're at your most open and your most raw and flawed, and I guess that's what I mean by that.
I'm looking at some of these titles on the record. Again, we're talking to Garbage here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Strange Little Birds is the album, due out June 10th. And I'm listening to what you're saying, Shirley, and then I'm looking at titles like Even Though Our Love Is Doomed. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm starting to put some pieces together here. Teaching Little Fingers to Play is one of the more curious song titles I think I've ever seen on a record.
Is that a question?
Is that a statement?
Yeah, it's more of a statement than.
What would teaching little fingers to play means?
Well, that was Duke's first piano book when he was learning how to play piano.
Oh.
And he came into the studio one day and he said, "I think this would make a really good title for a song." And we were all like, "Yeah, that actually is a cool place to come from." You know, we've been around now for 21 years and we've been playing together for a long time, and teaching little fingers to play is basically just about being in a beginner's mindset, you know, like not being cynical and feeling like you know everything just because you've had a lot of experience, you know. It's sort of,
you had a much better story behind that title than I could have possibly anticipated. That's really interesting.
I'm just glad his first book wasn't Everybody Poops. It would have been a weird song. I'm into it, but it would have been weird.
That's giving me some inspiration for the next record.
We did consider that for a title, but it just didn't quite fit in with the other songs.
Oh, that was one of the throwaways, you know.
That was one of the throwaways, indeed.
Got it.
Steve, let me ask you this question. As the guitarist, you know, music has changed so much in the course of this band being together. Do you have a different mindset when you go in of doing something that's modern or more different than you've done in the past, something that doesn't echo previous Garbage songs? Because now that you've got 100 of them in the vault, I would imagine sometimes it's hard to play something that doesn't sound like something you've played before.
Wow. You know, I think we just draw a lot of this record was drawn upon what we were listening to when we were growing up. And there's so much great music that we all love, and that's what we share as a band. And it doesn't seem to dry up. I mean, it's always there, and it doesn't seem to be a problem, to tell you the truth.
So many bands have had problems with lawsuits with them stealing songs. Do you guys ever write something and then go, wait a minute, this is very much like something you grew up with or a band that you liked when you were younger? Has that ever happened to you?
I mean, I don't know. We have reference point. Every album, you could probably go, oh, that's kind of Beatles-y. That's kind of Pretenders-y. You're sort of referring to what Steve is talking about. For me personally on this record, the band gave me a turntable for my birthday last year and gave me a box set, the Roxy Music box set. And I started listening to it like mad. And I hear on the record a lot of that sort of bittersweet romance that Brian Ferrier writes in his lyrics and some of the sonic textures. And I also hear some of the Brian Eno synth freakouts on this record. There's a lot of analog synthesizers on the album. But I can hear influences on every Garbage record. It's just, like Steve referred to, we all wear our influences quite proudly, I think.
Yeah, no one starts with a blank slate, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right, the band is here. They are Garbage. The record is called Strange Little Birds. We world premiered their brand new song called Empty. I know we had a lot of people, we've been hearing from people on social media all week who have been waiting for this moment. So let's give it to them again. Shall we play the song again when we return?
Yeah.
More with Garbage right after this.
I'm so empty.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is great.
That is great.
It's Garbage. They're in the studio with us. Shirley's taking pictures, and that's odd. Don't say daddy likey.
Sorry.
I'm
sorry.
Don't ever say that.
Happy to have the band back. And by the way, we are Facebook Living this right now, so people are watching from all over the world, you guys. We kind of wanted to do this because K-Rock doesn't allow people to stream the radio station internationally, and we didn't want them to miss your interview today. Cool. And we are hearing from everybody. Here's Waleed, Love to Garbage from Dubai. The new era has officially begun.
Our friend Mats writes in, love garbage, greetings from Finland. Here's a question on the Facebook Live for you, Butch, which is, how does it compare working on a garbage album compared to other artists that you produce?
Not
different
easy.
Process.
Answer this very carefully.
Two different things completely. In garbage, I'm part of the band. I'm the drummer, songwriter. I can make the coffee or go get the beer or wine. And you're in a band mentality. And when I'm with the Foos or Against Me or Green Day, whoever, it's, I have to remember it's their vision and it's my job to help facilitate that.
Can you ever listen to music without thinking that way, about thinking about the production and how it sounds and what they did?
No.
You can't.
Not really, especially in the car. I'm constantly flipping to different stations and listening to the arrangement or the drum sound or the tone of the vocals or the vibe or whatever. I'm always taking that in.
I feel like a guy like you would also want to make changes to your own songs as they go along, and you listen to them on the radio. Go, hey, maybe we should have done this. Maybe we should have made that change.
We can attest to that.
You just tell him to shut up and stop.
Yeah, we have to go. You have to let it go, man.
My question is, you mentioned earlier that you guys run your own record company, and you're recording in your basement. How does a small outfit like you even afford Butch Vig as a producer? Because I hear he's very pricey.
That's a very good question. It's too impolite. We can't talk about it on air.
Okay. Strange Little Birds is the name of the album. It comes out on June 10th, the sixth studio album from Garbage. What are your plans for the spring and summer? Are we going to see a lot of garbage out there on the road?
We are hitting the road.
Okay, so yes.
Worldwide, yeah. A month.
Yeah, I think the first show is May 20th in France. We're starting with a lot of European festivals, and then early in the summer, then we come back, we're doing a bunch of U.S. shows in July and August, and then we're now starting to add more going back to Europe and then back to the U.S. in the fall. So talk to us today about South America and Mexico and Australia, so it could be a long be a long run for us.
How do you make the decision to start in Europe at these big festivals? It seems like there'd be a lot of pressure there.
We have a gentleman who's currently cowering in the corner through in that other room who's our manager, and he comes up with a plan.
Ah,
you go where they tell you.
Yes.
I got you. How do you like those festivals? Do you get to see any other music, or do you just chop her in and chop her out?
Yeah, we van in and van out.
That's what I meant.
There ain't no chopper in garbage land, I can assure you. They're kind of brutal in a way. Usually they're either really hot or really wet or really cold. They have chemical toilets, which really, historically, I'm on record as saying they really freak me out, which they continue to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's more about pleasing the fans, I think, than pleasing ourselves. We are sublimating ourselves for our
fans. That's a beautiful
fans.
Answer.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was sweet.
Shirley, do you have people who come up to you and they are so starstruck to meet you, they're such big fans that they just can't talk to you?
No.
Never?
No.
Because we have somebody on our show like that. Ralph Garman, who has worked on our program for almost 20 years, is the biggest garbage fan I know, and we've encountered you. We've crossed paths with your band many times in the years that he's been here at various concerts and here at the radio station. He refuses to meet you and say hello.
I don't blame him.
I guarantee he's running down the hallway right now towards his car.
The other way.
Toward his car.
Yeah, he's smart. He's really smart.
And we keep trying to tell him, and we told him again this morning, earlier today, Kevin, what did you say to Ralph? You're like, Shirley's going to be, she would be happy to meet you.
Yes.
She's the nicest lady in the world.
Whatever
it's
you
not
think about
be
Shirley,
weird.
She's better than that. And he just.
Well, you're good, Kevin.
He just won't. He's afraid he'll disappoint you somehow.
Oof.
I don't know.
I see. Well, quite frankly, I commend him. I think he's smart.
You think he's smart?
I do.
You think he's making the right decision?
Yes.
Okay. 100%. Don't meet your heroes.
Because you don't want to meet
him? Your heroes, yeah.
Is that why?
I totally want to meet him, but I can understand why he wants to just keep it in his mind.
You respect his decision.
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, we love meeting you over and over and over again, and we love whenever you guys get to come visit, and I can't wait for this new album to come out. I mean, that first song, I mean, that's the thing. You want to come out with a song that just blows people away, and you have done
done that, you guys. So congratulations. It's amazing. We'd love
thanks.
It.
Thank you. Thanks and to K-Rock, too. You're a part of our history at this point. Yeah. We've got a long history together, so we're really honored to be here and have our new song on the radio. It's badass.
We love you. Strange Little Birds out everywhere on June 10th. And you know, keep track of where the guys are going to be performing live at garbage.com. It's going to be a great spring and summer. We'll see you again soon. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
and
you.
Lee.
Thank you.
All right. Are we doing the phone thing here, Kevin?
We are doing the phone thing here.
We are opening up the phone lines to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, on any topic. You know, we talked a little bit about it earlier today, but if you've got thoughts or you want to share your thoughts on Conor McGregor pulling out of you or being fired from UFC 200, that whole controversy, anything else that's going on in the news you want to talk about, you got questions, you got comments, you got problems, we're your boys. You be part of the Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Remember when Garbage was here, you guys?
Remember the garbage times.
5 minutes. The garbage times were good. Those were good times. But we got to move on. They couldn't live here. They got other things to do. But we're taking your calls to fill the void at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Speaking of the garbage, I think that's what Ray is calling about. He's on line one, and he gets us started on Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Ray, welcome to the program. What's happening, my man?
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
You tell us.
So took a quick road trip to Vegas. Second garbage show that same week. Grabbed my cousin, which is my road trip guy.
Mm-hmm.
Also grabbed the hot chick at work. Take her down there. We spent a day out there. We saw garbage. She knew a couple of her songs, but... after that day, I was able to hook up, and
with your cousin?
A lifelong garbage fan.
I don't think with his cousin. I think with the hot chick at work.
Hot chick at work.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So what you're saying is garbage got you in with a lady at work that you wanted to date?
Yeah, the hot girl at work. And now
that's fantastic.
Together and totally enjoying our honeymoon period, and now we're looking forward to see garbage all over again.
All right. Look at that. Yeah. So garbage brought them together. That's a wonderful story. All right, Ray, congratulations to you. Thanks so much. Let's try, wow, we got some good ones here. Let's try Mike. He's in Torrance. He's on line five. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. What's good?
Well, I do have some thoughts on Conor McGregor for sure.
Yes, please. Conor McGregor says that he's retiring. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think he's really retiring per se. I honestly think that Dana White's just tired of him just bad-mouthing everybody. I'm like, he was arrogant to begin with, but then when he became champion, he just became worse. Like, he wasn't being a true champion because everyone else, a true champion who's a real sportsman at the same time, wouldn't act that way. They would, they would please the crowd. They'd be nice to the fans. And Conor McGregor, when he just ran his mouth against Nate Diaz,
hasn't that been part of the secret that has fueled the success of Conor McGregor is being the trash talker, being the guy who boasts about how great he is all the time? I mean, isn't that part of what made him as popular a UFC star as he is?
That's one reason, but eventually
he could also back it up,
come back to bite him. Yeah, he could back it up, but we also knew it was going to eventually come back and bite him hard.
We were playing a clip from Dana White a little bit earlier today, and he said basically Conor McGregor did not want to do the press conference, and the rules of the UFC are you have to do the press conference. So basically, I don't know, it feels to me like he's just throwing a tantrum to try and get his way, and Dana's saying, sorry, you're out of the bill. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think he thought Dana would fold and be like, oh, don't worry, you don't need to do it, we'll see you at the fight.
Right.
But Dana's like, uh-uh, you're not bigger than the sport, F you. And Conor's like, I'm butthurt. I'm retiring now.
So let me go around the horn. Let me go around the horn here. Bill, what do you think will happen? Do you think Conor will fall in line and UFC 200 will be back on with Nate Diaz?
And what about you, Mike?
Well, I don't know. I mean, UFC 200 is going to go on, but they have to try to find someone else to fill that main event.
Right. But Bean's asking, do you think they'll resolve this before then and then it'll go on as planned or no?
I hope he does, and I hope that Conor McGregor will probably change his attitude a little bit because, like I said, I mean, it was eventually going to come back and bite him, and he's just got to, you know, eat like humble pie and just be like everyone else.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call so much. How about you, Allie? What do you think is going to be the eventual outcome of this?
Oh, I'm just thinking about pie now.
Okay. All right. Let's try Steve in – is it Beverly Hills? Is that where Steve is? Line four?
I don't know. All I can see is parents' house.
Parents' house. Okay.
In Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. All right, okay. Steve, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. What's good?
Sorry I missed the segment. Your screener said they had the segment at 6 o'clock this morning about taking pictures of girls' butts.
Uh-huh.
I have a blog with over 1,000 pictures over the years I've taken in laundromats and supermarkets and
so
stuff
you
like
take
that.
Pictures of girls' butts that don't know you're taking them, and then you put them online in a blog?
Yep.
That Steve, you're really weird.
That's incredibly creepy.
Right, Bean?
Right.
Who would do that?
It's not.
Why do they dress so slutty? I mean,
No. This is
Steve.
Not.
He's
no.
on Bean's side. La,
no,
la,
he's
la,
not.
La, la.
That is, first of all, a woman can dress however she wants to dress. It doesn't give you permission to take photos of her when she doesn't know it. No one should ever do that. People weren't listening earlier. I'm saying that no one should ever do that. The point is, respect women. Don't exploit women.
That's
all right?
Always been what you say, Bean, and I appreciate that.
Steve, we're gonna let you hang up and enjoy the basement in your parents' house. We appreciate you calling, sir.
What's good?
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Hall of Fame!
Hey, by the way, just as a P.S., we didn't have time. We had some great calls for What's Good today. We didn't have time to get to one from Jay, who was calling in to let us know, Ralph, and perhaps forgive me if you were going to mention this, but today is Oingo Boingo Day in the city of Los Angeles. It has been so proclaimed by the city council. It is Oingo Boingo Day. And he was just calling. We didn't have time for his call, just to give a little love to one of the all-time great K-Rock
why
fans.
Why so soon? Because,
well, I don't know. I don't know why they chose today
I
to be the
I guess they
day.
Wanted to capitalize on the white hot heat. Of Oingo Boingo, and they wanted to make a special day out of it.
That's strange.
They're a big deal, big part of K-Rock.
Yes.
Oingo Boingo is forever.
Yeah, but Danny Elfman has gone on to soaring in great heights.
Yes.
Right.
But that doesn't take away from how wonderful his band was and how much we all appreciate
Agreed,
and
right?
miss them.
I'm looking
That's
forward
awesome.
To Bay City Rollers Day, then. I think it's next week here in L.A., so I'm looking forward to that.
FATURDAY,
night.
Happy 420 and happy Oingo Boingo Day. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning.
Wait, can we clarify? Did you meet Shirley or no?
No.
Not at all. Mm-mm. Did you hide?
No. I was in the office working.
Okay. It's fine. I understand it.
Allie understands it more than anybody. She won't meet Conan.
There's nothing I said. I wasn't hiding. It's just like at least Bean didn't make it awkward by going and talking about it on the air for 5 minutes, too. So if there was any hope of me meeting her, it was quickly squashed after that weirdness.
It wasn't weird at all.
I think the recipient gets to call whether it's weird or not in that situation.
I thought it would be
once
a
again,
great
you don't
opportunity.
Really get to say whether it made me feel weird or not, being the inflictor. It's
it wasn't
the, it's
weird.
The yeah, trust
There's
me.
There's nothing weird
you
about it.
You don't get to make that call.
No, but I'm telling you. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you
no,
it wasn't
you don't
weird.
Understand. You don't get to make the call.
That's Look, like punching a guy and telling him that didn't
that didn't hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm telling you right now that didn't hurt.
You didn't lose a tooth.
I created a path.
You know, you created
for
a weirdness.
To,
you created a weirdness.
A path
that really made it even less likely ever to
for
happen.
For you to easily meet Shirley and get that monkey off your back and not have it be something.
First of all,
that
it's not a monkey on my back. I don't obsess about things like some people do on planes for 2 hours. Who's the model? I just say, well, no, that's not going to happen. And then I got another thing in my life that boom,
you move on to something else.
Next man up. Mm-hmm. Next play. Right. You get out there and you got to hit the gridiron.
Or whatever. You should have said hi to Shirley. She's a real nice lady.
I'm sure. I never said she wasn't a nice lady. Mm-hmm. Just not my thing. But at least you didn't make it more awkward. That's what I thought was strong. That was a strong move on your part.
I feel you're the one who's making it awkward, by the way. I mean, not just saying hi to the lady.
I'm sorry I asked.
Wow.
Why did you have to bring it up in the air? It's not a thing.
I brought
and
it up
why
because
do you care whether I do it or not?
Because I thought our listeners would enjoy you meeting Shirley on the air.
That's
I thought you would
choice
enjoy it.
Whether I meet her or not.
And I thought you would enjoy it, and I know that Shirley would have enjoyed it.
Kids, you're both
just awful.
Well, you made it very weird. So well done. If that was your goal was to create a moment of meeting, you actually did the exact opposite. So once again, good on you. Well
done.
You
could have gotten up from your desk and walked into the studio and said hi and sat in on the interview, and everybody would have had a great time.
Because in your mind, in your universe, you thought that would be something I'd be comfortable doing.
I don't like it when mommy and daddy fight.
I miss the garbage times.
I do too. It was a lot more fun when garbage was here. We didn't have the bad man yelling at us. Because
was your plan? I'm the bad man. Was your plan to like shame me into the studio and force me to meet here? Is that what you were shooting for?
No, it wasn't going to be shame at all. It was just going to be. It was going to be fun. That's all. It would have been fun. It would have been sweet. It would have been a very sweet moment to hear you talk to Shirley as much as
we have been trying.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
We've been trying to get his definition of fun.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to nail down, isn't it? It's all over the place, really. It's crazy. It's
like I think our listeners would have enjoyed it. It would have been a sweet moment. And you would have gone home happy today that you got to meet.
Right,
and got your
but it's
taken
possible you're wrong. So shut the F up so Ralph can do the showbiz.
I didn't even bring it up.
Yes, you did bring it up.
I might have. I brought it up now. He
yeah,
brought it up.
He brought
up
then. During an interview with
Garbage. Because I was trying to make a magic moment happen. That's why. I was trying to make something fun and good happen.
That's autobiography.
I was trying to make a
magic moment happen.
Well, when other people are involved in your magic moments, you need to have their participation. You can't just force people into doing things for your
I
magic
agree.
Moments.
It would have been better had I had your participation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry that you chose to bail.
I didn't bail.
What do you mean?
Knowing that I'm not comfortable with that, why did you think you could force me into doing it somehow for your magic moment?
He is blaming you, Ralph, for you not partaking in his magic
moment. In his fantasy magical moment.
He did create a magical moment in his mind.
I somehow let that down with real life.
I just think you're terrific.
Yeah, you are terrific. You know who else is terrific? Utah. I'm
still
on.
Quite a seg.
Still on. What's up with Utah? Well, we've got to let this go eventually, right? We have to leave Fantasyland behind and
Thank
go back
God.
To the real world. I mentioned in the last hour that the Utah government signed a resolution calling pornography a public health crisis.
Yeah.
Well, here's the latest What's Up with Utah update. The Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control in Utah, which, you know, is powerful.
Yeah.
DABC.
Yeah. They have a theater there in Utah called Brewies.
Brewies.
You go to the Brewies. Mm-hmm. You get to have a brew while you're watching a movie.
It's great.
All right.
Brewies.
I get it.
And if you go with your bros, then you have your brovies and your brewies in your skivvies.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Anyway, they showed the movie Deadpool while serving alcohol. Oh, no. Uh-uh. According to Utah, the state obscenity law says any nudity or simulated sex cannot be accompanied by alcohol.
What?
And so, because they showed the movie Deadpool, which features nudity and simulated sex, and they were serving alcohol, the state of Utah is now trying to revoke the alcohol license of the Brewies Theater and take away their ability to sell alcohol.
Yeah. But I thought that law was to prevent strip clubs from having naked women on stage while alcohol is served.
Of course it is, but the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control in Utah is taking themselves very seriously, and they are going after the Brewies license.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
I am not moving to Utah. I'm just telling you that.
Correct.
First
Park
of all,
City's very different.
First of all, they're slapping down my porn, and now they're taking away my Brewies.
Please don't say slapping. When you're
slapping around my porn.
Okay. Oh, Ralph. No one needed.
Been coming down on my Brewies.
I'm not looking at you ever again.
It's the worst. It's not being bad, but it's bad. Let's put it that way. Hey, let me give you tickets for Keanu.
Yay!
Looks outstanding. Keanu at the AMC Century City on April the 27th is our K-Rock Advance screening. Then it's going to be in theaters everywhere on April the 29th. You, the fine K-Rock listener, get to see the movie before anybody else. Five lucky winners right now. 1-800-520-1067. You get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Keanu with Key and Peele and Will Forte and Nia Long. Looks hilarious.
So good.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
So, call now. Enjoy Keanu. Ah, yes. I think Keanu maybe thinks he's in it.
Probably.
Oh, he shows up to the red carpet.
Ah, yes. So, what'd you think of my film? Excellent. What? Kidding. Wow. Color me embarrassed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40.
I believe we have time for one more look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Looks like there's going to be a Broadway version of the movie Mean Girls. Tina Fey, who did the original movie, told reporters last night that the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt will be put on hold for a while in a TV series Tina's currently producing because star Ellie Kemper is pregnant. And so they're going to take some time off from producing that series, and this will give her the opportunity and the time to finally put the long-promised Broadway musical version of Mean Girls together, which I think is pretty awesome. It should be a good show.
Probably Lindsay Lohan's high point as an actress, I would think. Mean Girls?
Yeah, it was up there.
Certainly up there, for sure, yeah. Kelly Ripa, apparently very upset that Michael Strahan is leaving Live with Michael and Kelly for a full-time gig on Good Morning America. And even more upset that the good folks at Disney/ABC did not clue her in to the move before it was officially announced. Now there are rumors, perhaps, that Disney is so over the Live show that they're thinking of getting rid of it completely, bumping it at least, and then making a third hour of Good Morning America available. So it makes sense. Ooh. If you're going to do that, you move the guy in that people like from that hour and move it into your show. Right?
It does make sense, yeah.
And maybe don't invite the people, the person that the people don't like, apparently.
Well, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Kelly Ripa.
I mean, I like her, but it's weird that all of her co-hosts keep bailing on her.
Well, she's had two co-hosts, right? And Regis died.
I think
Regis
some people died. Don't like her.
He was 400.
Died. Regis is alive.
I don't think he died. He died.
I don't think
he's
so
dead.
I don't think he's dead.
And then Michael Strahan, you know, he's moving to a new show.
What have you heard, Allie?
I've heard maybe it's not the easiest show to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And people leave.
Two people have left.
That's
but I don't think, like, I feel like Regis never talked to her again after he left, too. Yeah. I feel like
we
that
think
was
she's
a thing
the problem. Is that what we're just hinting at?
Well, I don't know. I think she's adorable and delightful.
Kathy Lee was a joy. Is that what you're saying? She was a box of chocolates at the beach.
Listen, I think if Kathy Lee could drink on the show like she does with Hoda, it would have been a very different thing.
She wasn't in Star Wars. Yoda did not work with Kathy
Lee. I said Hoda.
Hoda cup. Together, open up a blog. Damn, Daniel. Brian Johnson, singer of AC/DC, has finally said something about Axl Rose replacing him for the remaining 10 shows in the band's 2016 concert tour. It's a long statement, but basically refers to Axl only as a guest singer and explains that the reason Brian had to leave the tour is because his doctors told him if he continued to sing in large arenas and punish his ears in that way, he'd soon be completely deaf. So he apologized to fans who bought tickets for those shows, hoping to see the OG AC/DC singer. But he also said he's not retiring. He can still sing in the studio, and will keep doing that. But he did not say whether it will be as part of AC/DC or on another project. But word is that Angus Young is already looking for a replacement, permanent replacement, for Brian as lead singer. So we'll have to wait and see. I suggest Gary Cherone. I think he'd be a good choice.
Yeah.
Good
pull. More than words for you. It's an extreme choice, but hello, you guys?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
We're still here.
Yep.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. George Takei is 79 years old today. Jessica Lange turned 67. Andy Serkis, 52 years old today. Imagine if he married Elizabeth Vargas.
Circus Vargas. The big one is back.
I made Ellie way too happy.
I love that jingle.
Crispin Glover is 52 years old today. Is that still a thing? Is Circus Vargas still around?
It is, but I don't know if they have that theme anymore. But Circus Vargas was still
they
around.
Had like one animal. It was like a donkey
with
a horn stapled to it or something. They would call it a unicorn. And then they had, like, a dog they would call a wolf. I mean, it just seemed like they had one ride, and it was like a broken office chair that they would push down a...
It was low rent, if that's what you're saying.
A bag of fertilizer. I'm just saying, it was not the big top. It was not Barnum and Bailey time.
No, it was not. Yeah. No.
According to the website, by the way, they have upcoming dates in Burbank.
Oh,
right on.
Let's all go to Circus Vargas, Circus Vargas.
May 12th, 13th, and 14th, you guys.
The big one is back.
For Circus Vargas in Burbank. Vargas.
We are there.
Circus Vargas.
It's going to be on the corner of Olive and Riverside.
Oh. And I think it's change traffic. Just to let it go.
Ballet Park. Not on the street. In the street. It's on the corner. On the sidewalk. Yeah. There's Manny.
Manny,
he's
okay.
He'll be juggling some oranges, and they have a clown that rides an iguana very slowly.
Big tiny iguana. Clown.
It's a small clown. Yeah. Carmen Electra's 44 years old today. Crispin Glover's 52. Did I mention him? Killer Mike,
yes.
Run the Jewels rapper, is 41. They're playing Coachella this weekend. Joey Lawrence is 40, and Miranda Kerr is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Carmen. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, we have a pair of tickets to see the LA Galaxy against Real Salt Lake.
I thought you were going to say for Circus Vargas.
That is this Saturday at StubHub Center. We'll take the first caller.
StubHub!
1-800-520-1067. First caller gets those tickets. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thursdays means we talk sports with Jim Rome. We also have Dr. Drew, and we've got Johnny Knoxville in studio. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.